Hello, and welcome back to the Life on the Wrist podcast. Today, we are going to discuss two new watch releases that have happened over the last 2 weeks. Both, I think, have gotten the collectors very, very excited, and then I want to discuss some auction news about some pieces that are going to be auctioned coming up in the next couple of months. I always get excited for the summer auctions, and I will say that I think there's been some really great announcements of pieces that are going to be sold. So we'll kick it off with the new watches that were released, excuse me. The first one is a continuation on the Moon Swatch saga. This is obviously something that's been extremely popular, maybe overspoken about in the watch community. But with what's really cool is the Swatch Omega collaboration has announced the Moon Swatch plus Snoopy. This is actually quite an interesting release because the watch itself is actually completely white. What's really interesting in my mind is that they released the white dial stainless steel Omega Moon watch before this one came out, and I think that's that was intentional on their part. So if you don't know, the Moon Swatch is a collaboration between between Omega and Swatch, where they released some watches that were inspired by the design of the Omega Speedmaster, and they released a couple of different versions of it. Each had their own planet, and then they've released some moonshine gold versions of these pieces. I'll leave links in the show notes for you to read more about them. But what they did release was what they released this last week was essentially an all-white Omega Moon Swatch collaboration with a moon phase at the 3 o'clock position with the familiar Snoopy character on the dial and kind of acting as the moon phase. Now, Omega has done other pieces separate from Swatch where they incorporated Snoopy into their design. As an example, the Omega Speedmaster Silver Snoopy Limited Edition from 2015 is a good example of that. This Moon Swatch is like all the others, except is completely white. There's also a cool little bit of loom that's on that sub-dial of Snoopy sitting on the moon, where it says, "I can't sleep without a nightlight." And I think that is a really cool addition for the luminescent material on that sub-dial, and kind of gives it an extra little piece there. There is a slight premium on this watch, which is it's priced at $310. Obviously, this watch is going to be extremely popular and will be available in Swatch boutiques starting on March 26, which is actually when this podcast will be released. So if you aren't at the Swatch store already, I highly encourage you to do so. My personal opinion, the Moon Swatch is really cool. I'm glad it's getting new collectors into sort of the world of watch collecting. And I think this is a cool limited edition that is obviously going to be very, very popular. I personally actually don't own a Moon Swatch. I haven't experienced them myself. I've had the opportunity to handle a few of them, but haven't worn them myself. But so I can't really say anything about the long-term sort of view on wearing these. But it's a nice way to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of the Omega and Swatch Moon Swatch collaboration. The next watch that was released is a new LM Flying T. I think MBNF kind of is taking some nice pointers from some of the demand that has been seen for gemstone dials over the last year. What's really interesting is actually since 2020, the collection has hosted a special gemstone dial every year with the addition of lapis lazuli, malachite tiger eye, and coeur de rubis. What's really cool is they've released the LM Flying T, which is their version of a ladies piece with a deep black gemstone encased in an 18 karat yellow gold case. The combination found in a lot of vintage watches. What's nice is that this isn't maybe MBNF's just sort of starting off in the Onyx dial, sort of what's in demand, sort of following the trends that I think the last year has seen. I like the fact that they've sort of incorporated gemstones every year since 2020, and this isn't something that's super, super new. However, onyx has become quite a in-demand, dial for collectors. You see a lot of people gravitating towards day dates and day justs with this specific dial. So it is quite an in-demand piece, and I'm sure that this would be very, very special. I'll leave a link in the show notes for you to see the flying tee with this onyx dial. I think it's extremely good looking, and I think it's a wonderful version of the flying tee that I think will definitely command some interest from collectors, whether lady or male. I think it will still be quite a cool piece for people to be interested in. All right, so those are the new watch releases. I think they're both quite interesting. Two opposite ends of the spectrum, but really great releases nonetheless. So moving into the watch auction world, two things I want to discuss. The first is an announcement from Christie's, who announced timepieces from the collection of Michael Schumacher will be auctioned in their Geneva auctions, the Rare Watch Auctions Live in May. So it's the 30th anniversary of Michael Schumacher's first Formula One driver championship, which was in 1994. And Christie's is going to be presenting selected timepieces from the private collection of one of the most successful drivers in F1 history. The Rare Watches auction on the 13th of May at the Four Seasons Hotel in Geneva will include a selection dedicated to this group of watches, highlighting moments in the career of Michael Schumacher and demonstrating the unique quality of his collection. Two pieces that I think came along with this announcement were one, Audemars Piguet Royal Oak chronograph that was commissioned as a gift for 7-time Formula One world champion racing driver Michael Schumacher from his mentor at Ferrari, commemorating the then 6 F1 victories achieved by Michael Schumacher. It has some additional details like the Ferrari horse emblem in the subsidiary dial seconds, the number 1 in the 30-minute registered dial surrounded by 6 stars representing the 6 world championships from 1994 to 2003, and the 12-hour register having Schumacher's red racing helmet depicted inside of it. A really nice, obviously a very important milestone for Michael Schumacher as a driver, and a nice watch to commemorate it. Another piece that they've spoken about, which I think is an incredibly rare and important piece, happens to come from FP Journe. It's a unique Vagabondage 1 model from 2004, which features a bespoke dial with an engraved personal gift dedicated on the 18-karat gold movement. It's this, the circumference of the dial are symbols representing Michael Schumacher's 7 F1 World Championship victories achieved by 2004, and includes Schumacher's racing helmet with the Ferrari emblem. The Vagabondage is an extremely desired FP Journe. It's very, very difficult to get these pieces, and something celebrating Michael Schumacher's accomplishments in F1, I think, makes it even more special, and is a nice nice opportunity for an FP Journe collector, a individual who's into car racing, to pick up some really great pieces. I think this is the perfect intersection, because a lot of the times it's funny, I was listening to the Hodinkee podcasts, Hodinkee Radio, and I was listening to Mental Watches on YouTube, and he was talking to some car collectors that he knew, and he said, you know, at least in South Florida, it seems like car collectors and watch collectors are not the same type of person, and sometimes hard to find those individuals who are interested in both worlds. But I think I remember hearing Ben Clymer on Hodinkee Radio mentioning that he thinks watch collectors and car collectors are actually very, very similar. And so I think Christie's has identified a very unique collection to offer at auction for individuals who might be part of that intersection between watches and cars. And I think it's I think it's going to do well, to say the least. Michael Schumacher is one of the most important F1 drivers in recent history, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of interest in his pieces. All right, the last bit of auction news comes from the Monaco Legend Group, which is an auction house led by Watch Department Chairman Davide Parmigiani, and they have announced a few pieces that are going to be in their auction coming up this summer. However, one of those being the split second chronograph from John Goldberg or Armand Tenari, from Rolex. What's really interesting is they are going to be offering an extremely important Patek Philippe split second single button chronograph that formerly belonged to famed racer Henry Segrave and Amelia Earhart. What's really cool about this piece, and what makes it very, very significant, is that this watch was ordered by Harry Gordon Selfridge, the American business magnate who founded London-based Selfridge's department store, and he purchased this watch in St. Moritz in the winter of 1928-1929. He is obviously an extremely important businessman, but he also commissioned this watch, and there's a really nice engraving on the back of this watch to commemorate this. So this piece was obviously commissioned by Selfridge, and he had been sort of interested in this incredible hero, Sir Henry O'Neill de Hans Seagrave, who was an incredible celebrity for his achievement in motorsports, especially speed records, and apparently ordered the watch with Seagrave in mind. And if you look at the back of this watch, you can see an engraving on the back commemorating their friendship. It wasn't an average chronograph, so in 1923 to 1939, Patek Philippe only produced 11 split-second single-button chronographs, two of which were made by Patek and signed by Cartier. And these were made-to-order pieces, unlike the famous 1436 two-button, which were serially produced. It was completely bespoke. So it has the custom split-second single-button watches have a Victorian Piguet Ebauche movement, and could be split into two camps, both round and cushion shaped. Of these, only five are cushion cases, and two are in the Patek Philippe Museum. So this is an incredible opportunity to own a truly special piece. Earhart, sort of her place in the story, is another example of Selfridge using his status to surround himself with the most important people of this era. And obviously, she was the first female aviator to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean, and has a ton of fame from that today. At some point, while visiting Earhart in America, Selfridge gifted her the Seagrave watch, and in exchange, she gave Selfridge the Longines she was wearing on her two record-breaking transatlantic flight, which I think is a truly incredible trade, and kind of harkens back to what is so important, what collectors used to do, or what collectors still do, trading iconic pieces for iconic pieces. The piece has been restored shortly after Seagrave was pulled from water and had to have it restored because it wasn't waterproof. And then it was restoration was completed in 2015 by Patek, that brought it to sort of its condition today. The watch is going to be auctioned, as I mentioned, by Monaco Legend Group in spring from April 20th to 21st. It's estimated to go between 500 and 1 million euros. I think this is pretty generous. I expect it to go for more, given its significance in history. However, it has been restored, which, you know, some people aren't huge fans of. We'll see what it ends up going for. It's hard to put a number on this, but it is a very significant Patek Philippe nonetheless. I'll leave a link in the show notes to a Hodinkee article where they actually show some really cool pictures of both Seagrave and Amelia Earhart wearing the watch. So be sure to check out the links in the show notes of this podcast. I think Monaco Legend Group is, in my opinion, one of the best auction houses today. I think they're offering things that are so historically important, but also there's a range. It's not just, you know, these bespoke split second single button chronographs from Patek Philippe. They also offer things at more attainable sections of the market that individuals can partake in, but you know that you're getting something that's truly of really great quality and of a lot of the times really great history, which I have to take my hat off to Monaco Legend Group for doing so. I hope you enjoyed it listening to this podcast. If you are new to the Life on the Wrist podcast, be sure to follow us so you're notified every time we upload. As I mentioned, there'll be links in the show notes to all of the things that we've discussed during this podcast, as well as our website and our social media accounts. If you want to see more from Life on the Wrist, you can head over there. If you wouldn't mind rating this podcast and sharing it with a friend who might be interested in watches, it really does help me out. With this said, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and until next time.